On this episode of Still Loading, oh hey, who doesn't love a top 10? Hello everyone and welcome to this new episode of Still Loading. It's officially October and as one is supposed to do, we are going to get into some spooky shit this episode. For this week's episode, I am going to talk about video game urban legends and creepypastas. And actually some true stories even mixed in with this. It's a mixed bag of what's going on. So I'm not going to tell you which is which. You're just going to have to listen and figure it out for yourself. If you think you figured out which is what and what is which what not now, message me. Contact me. You know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at StillLoadingPod on all of them, or StillLoadingContact@gmail.com. So anyway, I'm going to list my top 10 favorite video game urban legends, creepy stories, creepypastas, true stories, etc. It's been a while since I've done a solo episode, and I'm looking forward to kind of going down this rabbit hole with you all, so let's dive into it. Without further ado, my top 10 video game urban legends / creepypastas. Yeah. Number 10, the Shadow People of Hell Valley. So surprisingly enough, our first entry into this list is from a Mario game, believe it or not. The first entry, the Shadow People of Hell Valley, is from Super Mario Galaxy 2. Mario games are usually known to be bright and colorful and they're just happy, but every now and then the game dives into some creepy territory, you know, like the Ghost House levels. But the Shiverburn Galaxy from Super Mario Galaxy 2 takes the cake. The level is surrounded by these giant cliff, like ice cliff walls that keep the player in bounds. However, if you switch to first person mode, to the first person camera, and you stare up on the cliff walls, if you look at a specific spot at the top of the cliff wall, there is these shadowy figures just lurking at the top of the cliff wall, just watching you. You would normally never see this at all, as you would have no reason to look up there. But as the way things go in video games, people find strange things as they explore games. The game's data got mined, and this is where things get a little bit more interesting. The shadowy figures are just flat textures that are actually stuck to the skybox level. And the art asset name for the skybox is Beyond Hell Valley Sky. And the weird figures, they're actually named Hell Valley Sky Tree. None of these figures really look like trees, or if this was what Nintendo thinks trees look like, I'm a little worried. Nintendo has never really commented on what these figures are, which further increases speculation and conspiracy theories on them. But as for now, they just continue to stare at you. Number 9, Earthbound, is actually about abortion. So this one kind of puts it a little bit more on Front Street than the Mario one. Earthbound is probably one of the most popular cult video games out there. Like Mario, it has a cute, whimsical feel about it, although it approaches cute very differently than Mario. Earthbound is known to be one of the quirkiest and most funny games out there, which makes this urban legend / conspiracy theory that much darker. Like I said before, the game is generally very light in tone. However, in the final portions of the game, it gets super weird and super dark very fast. Just an FYI, there will be spoilers for this next part. Throughout the game, you play as a child named Ness and go around exploring his world with his friends. In the final portion of the game, Ness and his friends must transfer their minds / consciences to robots in order to survive time travel. They travel back in time to kill Gigas, or Gigas, I'm never really sure how you pronounce it, but he's the main enemy of the game. You see, Gigas is too strong in their present time to fight, so they must travel back and kill Gigas in its infant state. As you are fighting Gigas, there are these weird symbols floating around in the background, and almost look like a warp image of a fetus. It's dark red and almost looks as if it's screaming and it's twisting on the side, and it just repeats, the pattern repeats over and over again, so you just see this screaming face over and over again. The creator of the game, Shigesato Itoi, has openly stated that the inspiration for Gigas is from a scarring incident from his childhood, where he accidentally saw a rape scene from the movie The Military Policeman and the Dismembered Beauty. Oh, and if it's not enough for you, Earthbound isn't the name of the game in Japan. You see, Earthbound's actually the second game in a series of games called the Mother series. Coincidence? Number 8, Killswitch doesn't exist. Not to be confused with a different, more modern game for the original Xbox / PS2, Killswitch, I'm actually going to kind of come out and say this one's an urban legend. Not a creepypasta, but it's an urban legend. It's been circulating around online a lot. It's really hard to pinpoint which information is true and which isn't. From what I've gathered, this is a strange game that has a ton of information out about it. I'm talking like specific information, levels, story, gameplay, game design, but no one has verified that they actually have a copy or if it has ever even existed. What brings this game over the edge on the creepiness factor for me is that the supposed reason no one can find the game is that it will delete itself. Seemingly randomly. It could be from completing the game, it could be from dying, but I'm not talking about just a save file, the entire game wiped from your computer. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to go searching for that secret on the dark web. Number 7, JVK116Z.esp. So, Bethesda is known for their modder-friendly games. Morrowind, the third Elder Scrolls game, is no exception. There was a mod for the game that started circulating online simply called JVK116Z.esp. This mod would essentially break the game. It would create an unplayable version of the game. It crashes, it would corrupt save files. However, some gamers were able to get it to run. When the game would boot up, all of the main story NPCs are dead, making it unbeatable. During the nighttime, the remaining NPCs would go outside and only say one thing when they greeted the player. Watch the sky. Your health bar consistently drains, bit by bit, and if you stay in one place for too long, it'll drain more quickly. A player who got further into the game let his health bar drain completely and saw the cause of his death. After he died, an NPC that they started referring to as the assassin crawled all over his body, on all fours, screeching and howling as it would crawl over his corpse. He restarted, but then he started noticing things. He started noticing glimpses of the assassin following him, not blatantly. The assassin would peer around corners, crawl up walls real quick out of the player's sight. And the gamer who got far in this would play this for years. He would infrequently keep up to date with everyone on the forum where he got the mod from originally. And after a while, people just kind of stopped responding to him. But one member of the forum still kept in touch with him. And he reported to him that the assassin would start to antagonize him. As he would have long sessions, he would find himself falling asleep. And right when he would be about to fall asleep, the assassin would conveniently just screech and wake him up. Other times, it would slap his character. And because of the loud noise, it would also wake him up. But it was always at the time where he was just about to drift off. And after a while, the screeches didn't sound like they were coming from the game at all anymore, but he could still hear them. And it even got to the point where the assassin started conversing with him, with the player, talking to him about intimate details of his life that he never told anyone. The assassin would then tell him he had gotten farther than any other player had and that the time was near. And that was the last message anyone heard from him. As far as we know, we don't know what he unlocked in that mod. Number 6, The Hall of Tortured Souls. Easter eggs in games are a very common thing. The earliest known one is a simple message that says, "Hi Ron," from the arcade game Starship 1. However, sometimes an Easter egg is more than just a message. In fact, it could be an entire game. And that's the case with The Hall of Tortured Souls. The strangest thing, though, is that this game is an Easter egg that is found inside of the 95 version of Microsoft Excel. By going to the 95th row, selecting the whole entire row, tabbing over to column B, and going to the help/about section, then you hold Control, Alt, and Shift, and click the tech support button, and you will open the game The Hall of Tortured Souls. In this game, you are by yourself in a room, with blue pillars and green pools. The pillars line the side of the walls almost like you're going down a throne room. It's a little eerie being in there because, like I said, no one else is there. There's no sound, no nothing. It just shows up randomly. But there's a little secret within this secret. If you stand still when the game starts, turn 180 and type in Excel K
KFA, all one word, the wall will disappear. You will see a narrow bridge that takes you to a strange photo gallery. If you walk down this narrow bridge, it zigzags, and there's a big precipice on either side that you could fall into. When you reach that photo gallery, there's just five men standing there in a Last Supper pose. Number 5, the Goldshire Demon Children. This comes as no surprise, as you may have seen on social media, that I've been playing a lot of World of Warcraft, specifically WoW Classic. So this fits in all too perfectly. In WoW, you can choose from one of two different factions, the Horde or the Alliance. Both factions are comprised of multiple races and classes and characters, but each faction has its own unique feel. In the human starting zone in the Alliance area, humans are part of the Alliance faction, one of the first places you can travel to is a town called Goldshire. At 7 a.m. server time, something kind of strange happens. 6 children will appear on the outskirts of the town in the Elwynn Forest. Their names are Dana, Aaron, Cameron, John, Jose, and Lisa. They stay in a weirdly specific formation. You see, there is one child stands at the center and the other 5 surround the child. So when you look at it from above, it's kind of in the shape of a pentagram. Like I said, at 7 a.m. they appear just outside of town, and then they start traveling. They start running up and down the road. They travel to Stormwind City. They travel to Northshire Abbey. It's a little bit random, but as they go, they will periodically stop and shift positions. But they, while they're running and while also shifting, they are consistently in that pentagram shape. As they make the end of their trek, if you were to follow them their whole way, as they make the end of their trek, they come back to a house where the river in Goldshire meets Crystal Lake. They walk up to the second floor and stand there. And if you follow them up there, then they're still in that pentagram shape. And if you wait for them there, music starts playing. And you hear a voice that just says, "You will die." Number 4, the Lavender Town Syndrome. This one is a little bit shorter of a story. But when Pokemon Red and Green, yes, Green, not Blue, Green was released in Japan, Blue was the American version, was released in Japan in 1996, there was, supposedly, a large jump in suicides and illness among children between the ages of 7 to 12. The story goes that after the release of the game, when the children would get to the Lavender Town section of the game, the creepy music of the zone would kick in, as we heard in the American release. The music had extremely high frequencies that would play and would affect the children as their ears are a little bit more sensitive. Due to what is now called the lavender tone, at least 200 children supposedly committed suicide and more developed illnesses. Most of the children who committed suicide did so by hanging or jumping from high heights. The remainder behaved irrationally, suffered from severe headaches. Now, what's weird is that the Lavender Town music in North America is different than the one from the Japanese version. And as to date, neither Nintendo or Game Freak have commented on what the change was for and why they are different. Number 3, the Pale Luna Text Adventure. Pale Luna is a text adventure game similar to Zork, meaning the game gives you a text description of the environment around you and you have to type in commands to tell the player where to go. Apparently, the game was only released in the San Francisco Bay Area and all known copies have been disposed of. The game wasn't a big hit, mainly because it was too vague. Players could not figure out where to go or what really to do. At the start of the game, it just had this simple text. You are in a dark room. Moonlight shines through the window. There is gold in the corner, along with a shovel and a rope. There is a door to the east. Command? And this is where a lot of gamers would get frustrated, as the commands never really worked except for pick up gold, pick up shovel, pick up rope, open door, and go east. Through some trial and error, players could progress, but never that far. They would get a mixture of responses such as reap your reward or Pale Luna smiles at you. Eventually, they would all reach the same dead end with the game and giving them the same responses over and over again. Use gold, which caused the game to display not here. Use shovel, which brought up not now. And use rope, which prompted the text, you've already used this. One gamer was able to progress farther than others, Michael Nevins. Michael Nevins decided to dive deep into the game and see if he could figure it out. After numerous hours of troubleshooting and trial and error, he got the game to respond with, Pale Luna smiles wide. There are no paths. Pale Luna smiles wide. The ground is soft. Pale Luna smiles wide. Here. command? From there, it took him a little longer to figure out the next commands, but the commands he ultimately ended up using was dig hole, drop gold, then fill hole. The screen then displayed congratulations, and then listed numbers 40.24248 and -121.4434. And after that, the game stopped accepting commands. After thinking over on this for a while, Michael determined they were latitude and longitude coordinates. These coordinates led to a point in a forest within Lassen Volcanic Park in Colorado. So he decided to make the trek there. The landscape around him started to become eerily similar to the world that the game described. Upon arriving at the coordinates, he found a patch of uneven dirt. He started digging, hoping to find the gold buried like he did in the game. But what he ended up finding was the head of a badly decomposing blonde-haired little girl. He immediately reported the situation to the police, and the girl was identified as 11-year-old Karen Paulson, who had gone missing a year and a half earlier. Police tried to reach the developer of the game, but they were never able to be reached, and the rest of Karen's body, as of now, has never been found. Number 2, Ben Drowned. This one I'm going to actually give away as well. This is actually a creepypasta, only for the fact that it's one of the more famous ones. Otherwise, I wouldn't have given this one away, but yeah, it's definitely one of the more famous ones. The story of Ben Drowned is about a college student who goes by the name Jeduzable online. He was trying to track down a copy of Majora's Mask for the N64. He looked around the area outside of his college, hitting up yard sales and such. While looking for games, he came across a small yard sale with an old man running the table. He asked him if he had any old video games, and after initially denying that he had any, the old man told him, just wait a moment. And he went into his garage. He came back out shortly after with a gray N64 cartridge that didn't have a label on it. Written on it in black Sharpie was just the word Majora. The old man gave the kid the game for free, saying he had a kid about his age, but who didn't live there anymore. As the college kid left, the old man said goodbye then, as he headed off, but the whole ride home, he had this nagging feeling that the old man actually didn't say goodbye then. He said goodbye, Ben. When he got home, he popped the cartridge in, and it was indeed a copy of Majora's Mask. There was a single save file on the cart, simply named Ben. Now it was clear the old man did indeed say goodbye, Ben, and he felt bad for the old man, thinking that he might be going senile and was missing his grandson. He made a new save file and named it Link, you know, as you do. The game worked fine at first. However, the player started noticing some weird game textures would be mismatched. Cutscenes would randomly start once in a while when they weren't supposed to, and NPCs would switch between calling him Link, like his save file name, and calling him Ben, like the other one. Thinking this was just a glitch in the programming, Jeduzable deleted the Ben save file to avoid any further glitches with the NPCs. And it didn't solve the problem, sort of. The NPCs were no longer calling him Ben, but now they were just calling him Nothing. Where his character's name was supposed to appear, there would just be a blank space. The game would get more and more glitchy from there. Songs would play in reverse. He would end up in boss rooms that he didn't start in. There's a statue in the game called the Elegy of Emptiness that summons when you play that song, and he would just randomly spawn around him and just follow him throughout the game. Eventually, he got glitched into the final boss area, with Skull Kid from the game just staring at him, never looking away. No matter what he would try to do, he could not get out of that area, and Skull Kid would just laugh at him, light him on fire, and kill him. He would respawn in the same location, and the cycle would repeat. After the third or fourth attempt to break the cycle, Link didn't respawn. He was still laying there on the floor dead, and the text on the screen would appear saying, "You've met with a terrible fate, haven't you?" He reset the game, and on the title screen, his file name was renamed to Your Turn. When he opened the file, he was met with the same screen that he left off on. Link was dead on the floor. He reset again, and now there was a new file below Your Turn, and this file's name was Ben. The student went back the next day to the house where he bought the game in the hopes of learning more from the old man, but no one was home. He spoke to a neighbor who said that the old man wasn't home at the moment and that he was actually moving. He also said the old man had no family. When he asked about who Ben could be, the neighbor clammed up and just told him that about 8 years prior there was an accident with a young boy named Ben in the neighborhood, but he wouldn't say anymore. He decided to go back and try the game some more. This time the game placed him outside of the town with the happy mask salesman and the statue from the Elegy of Emptiness. The game then transported Jeduzable to the ocean, and it put Link in Zora form. He swam into the ocean and found the statue there too. It started lighting up oddly, and Link started to drown while in Zora form. When he rebooted the game, the new save file read, "Ben drowned." From there, he tried suggestions from other people online with what to do. He played the Song of Healing, and all the text boxes in the game would now only read, "You shouldn't have done that." He tried numerous different things, all resulting in the same text box. The screen then goes black with a new message saying, "Ben is getting lonely." The game then takes him to a tree in the middle of the field, and this scene normally appears at the end of the game. And he sees the statue there again, while music starts playing in reverse. The screen fades to black and a new message appears. "You will be given one last chance, back where it all began. Come play with us." The game takes him back to the save file screen, and two save files now read Link and Ben. At this point, he had been sharing all this information online, posting actual videos of the experiences he's been having. You can actually find these videos. But no one had heard from him for a little while, until his former roommate logged on and posted, saying he got his account information from him and that he had asked him, at Jadoozable had asked him to post this one last video of everything that was happening, and a text file simply called The Truth. And to summarize, the video starts out normal, no issues, until he checks his inventory and sees a pictograph from the happy mask salesman with the statue of Elegy in the pictograph. The game starts to glitch from there, resulting in him getting pinned to a wall and gets sliced and diced by a boss. The screen fades to black and the message appears, "Why is he smiling? The father?" Link then wakes up in front of a tombstone in a graveyard. Behind the tombstone appears a statue again, and written on the tombstone is, "A vessel that holds wandering spirits rests here." Link then falls through the earth, and a new quote appears again, along with the audio of the happy mask vendor laughing, and the text just says, "It'll be our little secret, okay?" The game loads into a twisting hallway, and at the end of it, Link runs into the Elegy of Emptiness again. The game freezes and returns to the file page. The file names are now Link and Matt. After that video was released, a few days later the text file was also released. It essentially was a journal of his time with the game. As the journal entries progress, he gets steadily more paranoid. One of the later journal entries states his computer is working on its own. It opened up a text document all on its own, and it started typing, saying, "Hi," entered, and then typed in cleverbot.com. He goes to the Cleverbot website and finds out it's one of those robot chat sites. But things take a turn when the website starts encouraging him to play more Majora's Mask. He asks the robot how it knows about the Majora game, and the robot responds saying that it is Ben. And Ben starts mocking him. He's part of the computer. He can see his journal entries, and he finds them amusing, enjoying what Jadoozable thinks of him. Ben continues to toy with him, and Jadoozable steadily gets even more and more paranoid. He starts noticing that Ben has tinkered with some of his earlier posts, taking out key elements of the videos and of his posts. He figures he has to write all of this on a quote-unquote non-infected computer and post it to the world so that way Ben won't spread. He does this, posts it all online, and then disappears. To kind of cap all of this off, the document that was released also indicated that Jadoozable actually had no roommate. The file name of the video that was posted does not match the file name that was indicated on the document. This raises more questions as to who or what really posted that final video / text file, or who or what posted any of it. And finally, my number one, but before we jump into that, I just have one quick honorable mention that I would like to say, and that is the Luigi's Dead conspiracy theory. A fan theory going around online that Luigi has been dead all along. One of the things that have helped support that is that in Luigi's Mansion, in one of the rooms, when the light hits Luigi just right, it looks like he's hanging himself. Kind of creepy, but not quite enough to enter my top 10. So my number one is the granddaddy of all video game urban legends, and that is Polybius. Polybius was an arcade game that reportedly appeared in several of the Portland suburbs. Despite these reports, the only evidence of this game actually existing are posts from a website called coinop.org, with the author claiming that they have a ROM of the image of the game, and the only thing they were able to extract from it were text fragments that read 1981 Cineslosion. The game was described as being addictive, you know, lines forming around the machine with fights breaking out for people to play it. And the people who played it supposedly suffered from side effects, including amnesia, insomnia, night terrors, hallucinations. The game cabinets would repeatedly be visited by men in suits, collecting data from it. After being released for a few months, the cabinet disappeared without a trace, and no evidence of it ever existing other than what we found on the website.
This ended up leading to a lot of conspiracy theories, as maybe this was some type of government program, possibly a mind control thing, but who really knows? The supposed developer of the game, as shown by the image mentioned earlier, 1981 Cineslosion, would make it seem like it was some type of an experiment. Breaking down the word Cineslosion, it means something similar to sensory deprivation or sense delete. Further adding to the mystery, the first appearance of this legend occurs on that coin-op site in 2003. 3 years later, in 2006, a man named Stephen Roach claims to have actually worked on the game and was one of the original programmers. He claims the game was recalled because a boy experienced epileptic seizures, which is why the cabinets were withdrawn so quickly. However, Roach has offered no proof of his claims, and there has not been any more information from him since that post in 2006. And that is my top 10 video game urban legends, creepypastas, and somewhat true stories. Other than the ones that I mentioned, I'll leave the rest to you to figure out. If you like this episode, please consider subscribing and giving me a rating on whatever podcatching app you use. Thank you once again for listening. If you want to follow me on social media, I have a Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. You can also contact me at StillLoadingContact@gmail.com. I also have a website, StillLoadingPodcast.com. And also check out the network I'm a part of, the Podbeard Network. You can go to PodbeardNetwork.com to check out all the shows on the network. And I think that should wrap this episode up. So once again, sincerely thank you. This episode was actually kind of creepy to research because some of the things, even though some of them are just fake stories, they really creeped me the fuck out, but it was a good time. So if you'd like to see more top 10s, just let me know. I don't try to go for the normal top 10 stuff. Last year was top 10 scary moments in non-horror games. So this year I went with the urban legend thing just to get a little bit more creepy. And I am covering a horror game, but that'll be released in 2 weeks as per usual with my 2 week recording schedule. So yeah, look out for that later on this month, and that should do it. So thank you all once again for listening, and I will see you all next time.